exploration into all things Degrassi. I'm Corey Conley.
And I'm Luke Baganbush, and happy days after 4th of July. We are recording this on Independence Day.
So we might hear some fireworks going on in the background. That's just for ambiance.
But we got reason to celebrate. We have our first special guest.
Oh, I'm special?
Very special.
Oh, no, you can say that.
You said that.
This disembodied voice is Lauren Hutton.
Fellow Luke's comedian, fellow podcaster.
Podcasting partner.
Mm-hmm. You want to introduce yourself at all? Or
I don't know what to say about myself. I'm afraid that I'm going to fall into old patterns for different shows, and I don't want to do that. So I'm going to sit here and be a good boy.
What matters is what you have to say about the episodes we watch together.
Plug you.
That's what I'm waiting for.
I'll plug you.
Don't say it like that. That's aggressive.
That's perfectly innocent.
Oh, okay.
We can do plugs at the end.
He runs a podcast called How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb with comedian Luke Faganbush, me, and it's a great little listen.
It's all right. All right. So, the episodes were what did we cover last week, first of all?
Oh, God, let me think.
Recapping. Yeah, fill me in, guys, because I don't know what happened before the now time.
So, last week we covered an episode about rumors. Spinner
yes.
put bugs in the cafeteria and got caught.
Which
and
in future episodes is why he's working behind the counter at the CAF.
They said it was for 2 months.
Do they call it the CAF? Is that like a normal term?
Yeah, they do.
Oh,
we should
boycott
we
the CAF.
Should say you are very freshly introduced to
yes,
Degrassi.
Actually, we should ask Lauren, what is your experience with Degrassi? And I'll preface this question by saying I know that we have shoved Degrassi down your throat for roughly a year now, maybe.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
what was your experience
like
with Degrassi before we just started waterboarding you with a Canadian teen drama?
Well, I mean, like, I had heard all of the tropes about how, like, Drake was in the show and that
Hey, no spoilers.
We don't talk about spoilers unless it's happened on the episodes we've covered.
I'm so sorry.
We didn't tell you that rule. That's our bad.
That's our bad.
But that's literally my only experience is that that's.
So you never watched it?
No.
Okay.
I never watched it. It sounded like a really, really. It was like 1,000 pink flamingos in a yard, but as a show. Just the most kitsch thing I could ever imagine. But then, like you said, a year ago, you guys started force feeding it to me, like
mostly through YouTube video compilations of separate, unrelated scenes.
That is not how it started.
Like, really,
you invaded our podcast with that crap.
Yeah,
there was like seven episodes in a row where you were fresh into it and hyper focused, and this show hadn't been born yet. And I think a little seed, a little gestation, started elsewhere, and that was my introduction, was you getting really excited about Degrassi.
And us realizing that you bear somewhat of a resemblance to Archie Snake Simpson.
I don't approve of that. I don't sign off.
It's got
to.
It's got
to.
It's
not canon.
That's business.
We're sitting down with Snake right now, just in your head.
No, he's actually, he's got things in production. He's directing this summer.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for
Stephen Brogram. Look me up on Instagram. Or him, Dan. Yeah.
The other episode that we watched, other than Rumors and Reputations, was the episode before that, which was Coming of Age. A real classic tale of Emma finding her womanhood, explained succinctly, knowledgeably, elegantly by myself. We really just got into
thank you.
How it feels
you're
to
a real Dr. Sally.
Yeah, I am. I'd like to say that.
So our first episode today, we're going to be covering Friday Night and Wannabe, episodes 11 and 12 in season 1.
Mm-hmm.
So episode 11 is Friday Night, and obviously season 1. The episode is named after several songs and by a few different music artists, such as Alistair, Loverboy, Redgum, Roy Orbison, and Slick Shoes.
Love me some Roy Orbison.
So I'm honestly very curious what the writers, which one they chose for that, or if it was just an apt title, because when our storylines merge, it is Friday Night.
I want to say Roy. I got to give it to Orbison.
The Canadian air date was January 27th, 2002. The U.S. air date, June 3rd, 2002. Written by Linda Schuler and Jan Moore. Story by Aaron Martin and James Hurst. Teleplay by Susan Nielsen. And this is the first and only episode in which Miss Kwan is the center focus for our plot.
Good.
I just don't know how you can say that after this.
Was that about what you were doing for the episode?
Yeah, do you have
one IMDb fun fact. So we're going to loose IMDb corner.
Is this a thing you do? This is a segment?
It's an episodic segment, yes, so but I only have one.
Do we have an intro for this one fact? What's
usually
where's our normal
make,
intro?
You make a noise.
But you didn't give me the prompt.
Hey, welcome to Luke's IMDb Corner.
Wee-oo.
Today, I've got a real special IMDb fact for you, because I know for a fact that this fact is incorrect.
Oh, yeah?
It's based on lies.
Feed us the lies, baby!
It's the first reference to Heather Sinclair this episode, when in actuality...
That's Parents Day.
Yeah, it's the second reference to Heather Sinclair.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no. So don't listen to IMDb.
Yeah, listen to this podcast.
Exactly.
Come here for the facts.
So we...
That's been Luke's IMDb corner. Oh. Thank you for coming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, gotta
ding,
do the
ding, 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 ding. It's over.
We're so sorry to see it go.
So sorry. So our grade 7 storyline, we open up on an extra walking by with some green goo. And we see Liberty. She quickly walks out of frame. So she's actually not the focus of this opening, which was pretty confusing at first.
Well, right.
And then Manny is talking to Emma. And Manny says, speaking of hot. And Sean walks up. And she says, I'm going to go talk to Liberty, which is why we ended up seeing Liberty.
That's
so that makes sense.
In.
Oh, that's right.
And Sean has some shiny new braces.
I didn't realize those were new?
Yeah, those were the... I think that's the first
You're
episode
also
he's had
not
the
observant.
Braces.
Well, this is like the first and second episode you'd seen in its totality, I believe.
I mean, yeah, but you've seen more of it, so the braces being new should have been noticeable.
I'm pretty sure it's the first episode he's had the braces, so good for Daniel Clark.
Yeah, getting
Speaking
stuff worked out.
Speaking of hot,
and
Daniel Clark.
Sean asks Emma out like a real cool guy.
Yeah,
he says, do you want to hang out or something vague like that, like middle school cool guys like to do, apparently. And she agrees, and Manny walks over and says, give me the dirt, and they squeal together.
I would like to say if she did, in fact, talk to Liberty, she did it for about 5 seconds. So she was like, hey, Liberty, hey, girl, what you doing? Okay, gotta go. Sean's walking away.
Yeah. I could see Manny being like, you know, Manny is better friends with Liberty than Emma. I could see her walking up and saying,
Manny's
Emma's
better.
Talking to a boy. I just needed to walk away for a second. Can I chill next to you so I don't look weird? Because I would have done that.
Manny's better friends with everyone than Emma is.
That's Emma's not a true friend to anybody. And I think you've heard us talk about Emma quite a bit.
That's like, okay, so there's, imagine only knowing like 3 names that actually stick in your brain about this show up until this point. And
tell us what those 3 names were.
Emma, Paige, and Spinner. Those are the 3 names that I'm like, oh, I know who that is. I know that person. I've heard so much about you. Let me see what you're about.
Did you have like preconceived notions that you were bringing to the show from us for either any of those characters?
Absolutely. I mean, like Spinner to me is Bart Simpson come to life.
That is actually very accurate.
Yeah,
eat his shorts for sure.
Yeah
munch and, on those shorts.
And then Emma is, I mean, I don't want to keep making comparisons, but Lisa Simpson come to life and then
okay.
with a dash.
You know,
but Lisa is likable.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the problem. Emma's just not. She's straight up poison.
See, I'm too nice. I haven't seen enough to really, like,
but
I know that
I... these are your preconceived notions. We can correct these.
Oh, right. You can mold me into the soldier you want me to be.
We'll have you on for some of her worst episodes every season she's on, and so we can just indoctrinate you, basically.
Well, I do have to say, after sitting down and taking notes for this with y'all, my opinion of Emma is drastically different. Yeah. My opinion of Paige, just steady as a fucking heartbeat.
What do you think about Paige coming into the show?
That is what she is there for. She comes into the show. She's the pop-in. She's the pop-in.
Pop-in Paige is what you coined when we sat down.
No kidding.
I don't know if you said it for the first time, but that's her moniker in my heart.
The first thing you all said to me about her was how she's always popping out of a bathroom stall. And then I think you showed me a supercut of how many times that happens. And then as soon as she shows up, I was trying to take notes. And so from my peripheral, it looked like she popped out of a locker.
Yes,
so I was just like, pop in Paige.
Too.
That's what she does.
Oh, and we will get to the locker scene. So Manny and Emma walk into, I always call it media immersion class, but they seem to have a lot of free periods where they just hang out in the computer lab. But this was homeroom. I think they were walking into media immersion. And Toby walks up and just really lamely tries to hit on Emma. And he says, I date girls. And Emma's like,
cool,
let's
Toby.
Go sharpen our pencils, Manny.
Yes.
Which made me so sad.
Yeah, the least amount of effort anyone has put into an excuse to dodge someone. Let's go sharpen our pencils together.
And I have to say, someone should have said something to Miriam McDonald. This is when the kids were still doing their own wardrobe and hair. Someone should have said something to her about that crimp job.
Right.
It was, her hair was, I'm not going to shit on a child.
We kind of do that on Emma's
character, but Miriam McDonald is a real person.
She looks like her hair got caught in a waffle maker a little bit.
It reminded me a lot of when I would try to do my hair when I was around that age and younger, and it just gave me bad memories.
Oh, trauma.
You guys are making me want to buy a crimper. Like,
they're so fun.
Yeah.
But none of us really have hair long enough for that.
Give me time. I'm real sad.
You guys have a better shot than I do.
Matching crimps?
Jinxies.
Oh, and then Emma says to Manny, she's so full of herself. She says to Manny, why can't he like you and not me, about Toby?
Wait, she says that? I don't remember.
Yeah,
that part.
She does.
There seems to be a common.
Wait, did Emma say that about Toby? Because that's how I remember it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Now I see. That's so freaking
weird. And Manny's like, whatever. I guess I'll take it.
And then they resume talking about how Sean asked her out in a very vague fashion. And they're confused about whether it's a date or not, because middle school girls with the first guy that's interested in them will analyze a lot of things.
And in middle school, girls are scary. You don't want to be specific and get your throat and heart ripped out. You want to be like,
I guess so.
Hey, you want to do a thing? Nod so I can go further.
Well, and then the next scene, they're still talking about it in gym class. Mm-hmm. And Emma tries to ask Sean about it. She tries to be a little bit direct, but she's just kind of like, hey, so about tonight, like, or tomorrow night, whatever day it was. I think it's tonight.
Can I see if I can do a Sean here?
Yeah.
Give it to us.
He says.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all he says. And so she's very confused and angered by this response. And so I had some comments on this gym class scene. They're playing dodgeball, and she's like trying to beam Sean pretty much in the balls with the single dodgeball they have. And Coach Armstrong at first is like, good arm, Emma. And then she keeps trying to throw the ball at him, but somehow missing. How is that good? Second of all, he picks up on her aggression.
Yeah.
Third of all, there's so many kids in that gym. They have one ball. According to dodgeballcanada.org, there's a lot of variations on the game. So you can use however many balls you want. But 6 is the most common number according to dodgeballcanada.org.
Okay, confirmed. So, this goes in the weird Degrassi column and not the it's Canadian column.
Like, what kind of have you guys ever played a dodgeball game in school?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where there was one ball to go around the entire gym class?
That was
I've
a
never
specific
seen that
game.
Before.
That was a specific game that we played, and it had like very specific rules.
Did it look like that?
No, and it was usually like, it was usually one person against everybody, and then that person would have some, well, our gymnasium was a giant hole in the ground, so then like two students would go up to the top of it and drop more balls down for the juggernaut that was by themselves.
Sort of like a gladiating pit.
Right, exactly.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So not applicable here at all.
I was just really confused by that. Oh, and we get to Paige popping out of the locker because after gym class, they're still talking about the date because this is all Emma has going on right now because she's 12.
Oh, Toby does say... So, the Toby is in love with Paige, we saw... Or, not Paige. Toby's in love with Emma.
Yes.
Yes. And very weird about
Emma
it.
Emma asks his advice on it, and Toby...
That's a deleted scene, though.
Well, it wasn't. There was an expansion on this.
Oh!
But there was one line where Emma asks Toby, and he says, Sean was just making conversation, which he falls short of his normal character for me. He's usually kind of a stand-up guy.
See, I'm not sure if he was doing that to, like, screw over Sean or, like, set him up for failure, or if he just, like, didn't see it, didn't know, and also likes Emma, so he's not going to make a call on something he hasn't seen. He can use that to lie to her and feel okay about it.
Right. Mm.
I don't know. Because
it's suspect.
Like most things in Degrassi, it's very morally gray.
It's suspect for sure.
And do you remember what Paige said about Heather Sinclair?
Because did write it down.
What we know so far, she's got an agent and an overbite. Those are the facts we know.
Okay. I think it was, Emma, your thing for Sean is more obvious than Heather Sinclair's nose job.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. That's some prime Paige, Lauren. You stick around. There's more where that came from.
The only thing I have about this scene is apparently Emma can't figure out Sean. Paige, the pop-out princess, makes an entrance. My note-taking skills
boy
are
trouble,
so boss.
Emma. And you never know which way she's going to break when she does do the pop-in.
Sometimes she
really?
Does the right thing.
Yeah, like this time
she
actually...
She's so compelling.
She actually gives Emma pretty good advice.
Okay. Well, yeah, actually, yeah.
Yeah, because she describes the ask-out situation. Paige, she's an eighth grader, so she goes... She's a grade eight, excuse me.
Yeah.
And she goes out with
American
boys.
American terms out of here.
And she kind of translates for Emma, like, yeah, the guys are brief. Like,
especially Sean, who she refers to as a one-syllable guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's very caveman. He just seems very shy and brooding, and I think that's more what it's like. But Paige... drew a likeness from boys to cavemen. Grunts is what she said.
But I mean, if you remember when Sean actually did confirm everything with Emma, that was not the case. Like there was a lot of like ambiguity on both sides.
Yeah.
But as soon as there was confirmation, they were like, "Oh hey, I'll pick you up at so and so time. Let's do this. We'll have a great time." And then
his first run through free dodgeball though, pretty caveman.
Yeah, a lot of grunting.
You heard my spot on impression.
They're just not very effective communicators because they're 12. That's what, this storyline is so uninteresting to me because it's just they're 12. They don't know how to communicate. That's all.
A lot of our more
and they're both happy. So like
a lot of our more nuanced analysis could be boiled down to they're 12.
Yeah. So Sean's in the computer lab. He. my notes just made me laugh. My notes says, poor Sean always doing homework at school because he's got no pooter.
Aw.
That does make me feel worse for him.
Yeah, well, poor he doesn't Sean. Have a computer at home, we know.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we always see him in the computer lab at school, because media immersion seems pretty extensive. Like, they're doing Photoshop, they went over Linux, like, they're learning useful things in this class.
Right.
So Emma sent him a message.
No, I don't.
We're converting him. It's working.
Yes.
Shush now.
So I think that might speak more to Canada's public schools, though, versus America.
See, you get it.
The U.S. So Emma sends him an email or an IM, and she's like, what is going on? And he says, going on besides you hating me? And Emma replies, I don't hate you. So Sean is like, this is dumb. We're 12 feet from each other. And so he just gets up and goes and talks to her.
Yeah. Yep.
Emma doesn't hate Sean. She's just a villain who throws dodgeballs at people's crotches.
Out of frustration.
Yeah.
She's like a Pokemon. She just hurts herself in her confusion all the time. And Sean says he will meet Emma at 7 at her place. And that is where their storyline ends before Friday night starts.
Oh, that's right.
So we're going back to
grade 8.
Okay.
Ms. Kwan is teaching in her English class. Ms. Kwan is an English teacher. I don't know if that English. Even came up at all in this episode, but it's been very big in the plot.
Yeah, well, subtext. They were talking about Shakespeare.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Their field trip is to go to Stratford-on-Avon, which is in Ontario, and hosts the a very famous Shakespeare festival. I don't know if they're going to the festival, but they are going to see Romeo and Juliet.
I assume, because the scene opens with her announcing that to the class and handing out permission slips. So I would assume that that would be why they would travel like 2 hours from Toronto to Stratford. And the kids seem pretty excited about it. And then she hears drumming on a desk. Yeah. And she says, sorry, but whoever's making that noise, please cease and desist.
It means stop.
Can I tell you guys that the opening of the whole grade 8 storyline with the way that this started was horrifically triggering for me.
Really?
Because this exact thing happened in a classroom at my high school.
No. You were listening to your Discman?
No. Not the punchline.
Okay.
The setup. The exact setup happened. Different punchline. Teacher's getting irate about a tapping on a desk. She says, stop. It continues. It escalates. She goes and rips the folder down to find not what you guys talk about what y'all found, and then we'll talk about what I went through.
Yeah, we see a spinner tapping his pencil, listening to
his Discman. Yeah. And she just like yeets it on the floor. And
she hates music.
And he's like, what the fuck, Miss Kwan? Rightly, and she says, you waste my time, I waste yours, and I will defend Miss Kwan till the day I die. Yeah. However, not in this respect, because that's not wasting his time. That's destroying his property.
Right.
How about you just take it away, give it to Mr. Raditch? Like, personal things into school.
Okay, I'll play the devil's advocate, the literal devil's advocate.
Oh, Miss Kwan is not the devil.
It looked like an accident, maybe.
That's kind of what I thought. Like, she was trying to take it away from him. Yeah. There was some fumbling.
And she's like, I was in a bad mood anyway, so fuck your disc, man.
That's kind of the vibe that I got from it.
She didn't seem especially concerned, but it did hit the ground.
Yeah, and from what I saw, broke in a very mild way. Like, honestly, you might have just been able to click that back together and pop the batteries back in.
Maybe props didn't really want to fuck it up too bad.
Right, we got to use this for maybe another
episode. In your trauma, what did the teacher find once they tore that binder down?
A kid having a seizure, tapping his pencil on the desk.
Oh, no.
And he got detention.
Definitely. In the hospital for a week.
I hope he got detention for 2 months.
Got White Claw in the nose on that one.
You can't
that
be doing
good.
That during class.
Please have your seizures in the hallway after class.
I gave you two warnings. That's plenty of time to take whatever medicine you need.
Off school grounds. What part don't you understand? So our next scene with the grade eights, Jimmy and Ashley and Terry are in the hallway. They're all talking about... Jimmy calls Miss Kwan a tyrant.
Yes.
Before Ashley and Jimmy are macking on each other because they're like, who are you going to sit by on the bus to Stratford? And then they're like, ooh, I don't know. Maybe my boyfriend. Maybe my girlfriend.
Jimmy says,
they're so annoying.
Juliet. And I barfed in my mouth.
Why are we bringing that up again? Can we leave Shakespeare behind?
Anyway,
there was a whole
Shakespeare-themed
episode.
Wait, for real?
Yeah, and Jimmy and Ashley were likened to Romeo and Juliet the whole time with, like, music cues and everything.
Gross.
So I'm, like, very tired of this. Oh, and
they get the baby reference.
Yeah, they're getting hot and heavy in the hallway. And Miss Kwan walks up and says, Miss Kerwin, Mr. Brooks, this is a school, not a petting zoo.
Yeah, she hates music and love.
Okay. I will say, you said this was going to change my mind about Miss Kwan. I don't know if it did all the way, but this part did as much as it was going to do to change my mind about Mrs. Kwan. Because her taking Jimmy and Ashley down a notch, I've never been more on Miss Kwan's side.
Yeah, she does say, you two might think you're adorable, but not everyone sees you that way. And I'm like, yes, Miss Kwan,
get
correct.
Em. Oh, wait, we don't like Jimmy and Ashley?
They're just kind of boring and annoying.
Okay,
we spend
on.
Too much time on them.
Let me peel away my eye scales for a second. As a newcomer, what did you think of Jimmy and Ashley?
Yeah.
Just from this small slice of the pie.
What do you think of Ashley?
That's pretty much the only thing that I remember from them in the episode is they were trying to make out in the hallway.
Yeah.
And then, wasn't Jimmy with Spinner at the end of the episode?
He was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, now remembering that, he can pound sand. We can move on. We can just move on.
But for you, they were kind of a typical high school
right,
couple.
And it, yeah. Initially, it was just like they were just making out in a hallway, and Miss Kwan hates love.
That's the problem. They're a typical high school couple, and we spend so...
Yeah.
Like, we have episodes where they are the main plot, and it's like, oof. Why? You guys are just... Ooh. I mean, I guess that it's relatable for teens, but some of this stuff is not thrilling for adults. I think we just have niche interests, but I cannot get into that.
I want to get yelled at for making out in a hallway. That's not a thought I can have.
It's not a problem I ever had because I had appropriate boundaries and didn't do heavy petting in the school hallway.
They were getting at it.
And
were
also,
really
boys didn't like me, so it wasn't really an option for me at the time. But that's irrelevant.
Well,
that is
we get
irrelevant.
Too deep. Let's move on with this plot. Like, what's going on at Degrassi?
So Spinner's working the lunch line in the calf.
Yes.
And
he got his just desserts for having the school pets controlled.
To be honest, though, I got to commend the dude. I kind of caught bits and pieces of this while I watched you guys take notes for the previous episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say, I'm on Spinner's side 100%, and I'm kind of sad that he has to
me too.
Sit back there and work in the fucking calf the whole time.
With
like,
his
are you kidding
net?
Me? But also, I know that he's going to be a better person at the end of the 2 months.
He
so
wouldn't
it's kind
have
of...
done the terrorist attack with the earwigs if they had just believed him, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Because he never lied about bugs. He only said the calf food sucked, and that's different. And I really don't like the boy that cried wolf illusion they try to draw there.
That's
so
what I'm
I agree
saying.
With you.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And
validation.
So they're talking about how Miss Kwan sucks eggs.
Oh,
and
they do serve lamb stroganoff. I thought that was
really.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's right. I heard the word lamb. Excuse
I'm like,
me,
dude.
I apologize.
Canada, give it
right?
to me.
And Jimmy and Spinner decide to join forces against Miss Kwan.
Is that like an unlikely alliance?
No,
I got,
they're
nah,
like
they're
best buds who make each other worse, and
well,
then they protect each other in the face of the consequences from when they become worse people.
Yep,
saw
I do
that. Saw that
see
a little bit.
How it could be. They kind of are unlikely in that Jimmy is...
He's like popular-y, and
yeah,
Spinner's kind of alty.
Spinner's
right?
popular, though. Everybody
like
loves Spinner.
In
he's a troublemaker,
ways.
Though.
Yeah, he's a shithead.
He is an enforcer. I would call him that.
Jimmy is someone to look up to as far as like the higher ups at Degrassi.
Jimmy's like a paladin. Spinner's like a barbarian.
Yeah.
In D&D terms, if that helps.
I like that. If you put everything in D&D terms, I'll get right on board with this show.
Yeah, Jimmy is like intelligent, like likable. And Spinner acts and then thinks.
Yeah.
He's an agent of chaos, but a likable one.
Yeah.
So, also, Sheila, the lunch lady, was so close. She probably heard these two boys saying, hey, let's join forces in revenge on this woman on the faculty. And she doesn't give a shit.
Right.
She don't concern her none.
No.
She's just trying to keep this lamb stroganoff movement.
Exactly.
She's got pans to clean.
Less
too much
talk,
to do.
More work. That's what Sheila says.
Get this stuff in the steamer. Get it out.
So then we go back to Miss Kwan's class. These plots moved really fast this episode.
They really do.
And Terry says that Miss Kwan is in a meeting with Mr. Radich, and she'll be in class. She said to read silently. And also, before we get into what Spinner does, I want to point out that Terry had Travis Barker doodled on her binder.
Yeah.
So she has interesting taste. There's not
fun
one of the Backstreet
fact,
Boys.
Right?
I liked that.
I want the alt drummer.
Yeah. And so Spinner decides to get in front of the class and pretend to be Miss Kwan.
In my notes, it says he totally crushes for like 3 minutes.
He really does.
The last time he got up in front of the class, he mooned everyone because he was out of Adderall.
Because Jimmy took his Adderall, his Ritalin.
Ritalin,
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah.
Best friends.
BFFs. And he gives Jimmy a fake detention, which he was crushing it for 3 minutes, which makes sense how Miss Kwan had time to hear it in Mr. Radish's
right.
office and make her way back to the
right.
classroom while he was still in front of the class.
This part is kind of weird because apparently from the intercom, you can listen in to her classroom.
Yeah,
a
I thought
brother-y.
That was odd because usually you can just like, if it was that kind of system, they could just send the audio
there'd be
a to
a
specific
in the room,
room
that you'd have to hit
yeah.
or something. It's weird that there's a central command center that you can just be like, and hear you.
But the intercom is important for later, so let's note that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it might just be plot magic.
Miss Kwan pulls a switcheroo and acts like she didn't hear Spinner and starts giving the same lecture that he was giving as fake Miss Kwan.
I was wondering when she started out as Shakespeare is the greatest writer of all time, and why is he... And I was wondering why the class wasn't cracking up. Because
right,
because
it was such a spot-on impression that he nailed it word for word.
Died. That's really funny.
Right.
Yeah.
But then we found out that it was with anger. Yeah. And she gave Jimmy a detention.
Angst.
So then in detention, she's in the room. They're the only two students in detention with Ms. Kwan. And Spinner looks at Jimmy in a normal tone of voice and says, hey, so what are we going to do about this Ms. Kwan situation? Like, and she rightly says, guys, I'm right here. Be quiet.
Right?
Like,
she says she's teaching a night class in 2 hours.
Three hours.
Would you like to join me? And I don't know how legal that is. I don't know if she could have
followed through on the threat.
But again, I think that's more just like plot magic. Where she didn't just, they have to
them,
give
though.
Them an idea of where to come back to later.
I could see a teacher doing that, though. She is at her wit's end with these boys, and like, she's not actually going to keep them because it's not legal, but she's like, you know what? I'll fucking threaten to if it'll keep these hooligans quiet for
a while. I'll say whatever I need to get through this freaking detention.
And Spinner passes a note to
Jimmy. He crumples up a ball of paper.
The loudest way to pass a note,
also. Worst fold job ever to just communicate, what, like 3 or 4 words?
Yeah. Well, 2 words, one
Oh, that's symbol. Right. That's right. Tonight equals revenge.
Yeah. Nailed the tone.
That literally a crumpled up ball of paper.
The
is not
loudest
the way, to,
way to pass notes, too. Like, you want her to grab that and see that and say, okay, what are you planning? You're suspended. You're going to get revenge. Like, that could mean anything.
It's a Nintendo game.
This is 2001.
We're playing revenge on the Nintendo.
On the Nintendo.
So, we're post-detention, post-school. It's Friday night, and Sean is walking up to Emma's house
wearing
in a turtleneck. He looks fresh as fuck.
Oh, that's right.
And Emma is being neurotic, and her mom, Spike, wonderful lady, she looks great. She's trying to make Emma feel better before her date. She tries. She's like, well, it couldn't possibly be worse than my first day, and tells her about it.
Yeah, she talked
a lot.
Oh,
wait, no,
she
before
like
she could
hyena.
Tell her,
Emma had zero interest.
Emma said, oh, are you going to tell me about it? like, leave Spike alone. She actually has a fascinating high school life.
I would really like to make a pie chart of Emma's communications with her mother that are halfway decent, and then her just being terrible to her mom.
Spike
cold
is a good mom.
And dismissive.
It would look like a closed mouth Pac-Man, that pie chart.
Nice.
So she lets Sean in, and Sean is like, what up? And they get ready to leave.
What's good?
Yeah, that's what he said. And Spike stops them and takes a picture of them with the chunkiest purple plastic camera I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God, it looked like a weird Egyptian eyeball.
Yeah,
it was so cool.
I've never seen a camera like that before. And they walk out the door, and Emma is immediately being too much. She's like, okay, so we could go to the movies. We could see a free movie in the park. We could rob a bank. We could go start a fire.
That's
like,
right.
She was just being a lot, and Sean was like,
relax.
Calm down.
Whatever we do, we'll have fun. That's what Sean sounds like.
Yeah. And then...
Well, and then they stop walking because he was telling her to relax, and a bird poops on her.
Which is super fun, because her mom was telling her a story about how on her first date she had verbal diarrhea. And then Emma had verbal diarrhea, and then summoned bird diarrhea.
That's true. When,
yeah, she literally
was
did
that
it with
verbal
a spell.
Diarrhea, enter diarrhea. Oh, we did have a fun cut, which was straight from Emma's bird poop smitten jacket
to the principal's office after hours
to the taxidermied bird.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that is in
the
principal's
really?
Office after.
Interesting.
Yeah,
so. I didn't notice that.
Well, I heard the bird call and it's like, oh sweet, that's
who directed
must be where
this
the poop
episode?
Came from. And then we right. look straight at the bird. I'm like, are they showing the bird? That's weird.
I will be right back. I have failed us.
Did you leave notes behind?
we didn't talk about the directors, and that's really important to me.
Oh my God. Aww. Edit point at 35 minutes.
Well, hold on. What's your impression of Degrassi thus far?
I do have to say that, like, yeah. I said, the way that I came into it was it felt forced upon me.
Yeah.
Like,
which usually that type of thing, you don't want it. You develop a resistance towards it.
Or Stockholm Syndrome. And I don't know if that's what's happening.
I think you're breaking the Stockholm way.
I don't know.
Look at me. I think you're breaking.
You don't have to
Stockholm
stop saying the word
way.
Breaking like it's going to break my soul. You can't just Freudianly break my spirit with subconscious word placement. Mm. No, but Degrassi is something that even as you were trying to force feed it to me,
yeah.
as I felt like I was like, oh, maybe I could get tricked into liking this, I was still resistant.
Okay.
And then, you know, you all were like, I want you on the show. And I was like, of course I'll do
and
that.
And you were like, exposure, of course. If it'll help my career, I'll spend time with my friends.
Nah.
I messed up
you
your video.
You have a weird... No, you don't know how I think about podcasting. If someone asks me to do a podcast, it's a favor to them with my voice. I'm bringing the heat, Luke. So that wasn't...
I don't know if you heard my Sean impression.
That was pretty good.
Best
so,
heat. Best
Paul
heat.
Paul Fox directed this episode, and he
the
also...
Paul Fox.
Yeah, he directed Rumors and Reputations as well.
Yes.
Oh.
And,
why do all the Degrassi episodes sound like punk songs?
Because they are all based off of... Mostly based off of song titles.
Are for real?
Mostly from the 80s, yeah.
That's... Okay, fun.
We get more current as the seasons move on. Of course, but
because they run out of titles.
Yeah.
But.
Well, yeah, you got to move forward in the timeline of music.
So, are there similarities between this and the other episode he directed? I feel like they were both pretty tight.
I just wanted
well
to know who made that call to switch. Hopefully, Paul made that call to switch directly from the bird poop to the taxidermied bird. That's what made me think I forgot to note the directors
Paul.
This episode.
We're in the principal's office.
Yes, and we see that Miss Kwan's English class is going on, which
ESL.
I've got to say, they do kind of make the English second language students a little bit the butt of a joke, which I didn't love.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. They're mostly like adults, like 30s to 50s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If foreigners that are, you know, trying to come in and learn whatever, or yeah. at least that one guy definitely was. Anywho.
And we see Spinner utilizing the intercom to chew gum loudly into the intercom speaker to drive Miss Kwan crazy.
He's making some high-level heists. Like, Jimmy and Spinner hid under the desk. They duct-taped the
well,
lock.
Well, she looks at the speaker after she doesn't see anyone chewing gum because she's not an idiot. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm going to go check the principal's office. So she does.
Janitor to open it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The sanitation worker opens the principal's office.
Calling him a janitor like you're some uppity.
No, what are you talking?
It's a
is
sanitation
it...
worker. Whoa,
is janitor Warren. Not a cool word?
I don't know.
I've done
if
that job. I've applied for that
is
at corporations.
Cool... Oh,
I wasn't making a comment. I just personally prefer
to
say
have
sanitation
to nice
worker.
No, you don't. Honestly, like if that's not a cool thing, then please tell me.
I don't actually know.
God.
That's
well,
just a personal
keep me awake
thing.
For 4 days.
Because I have a blue collar job, so I'm like, gotta respect all the blue collar jobs as much as possible.
So our sanitation worker lets Miss Kwan.
Yeah. So she looks around, which I don't know why she didn't look under the desk because there was a full panel blocking
the
under the
desk.
The only
spot in the room.
Yeah, and she looks around. She doesn't see anything, and then she closes the door. A half a second goes by and Spinner and Jimmy just pop up from behind the desk and start talking normal volume as if she might not hear that and turn back around.
I think Degrassi air is less dense, so sound doesn't carry as well. It has to be true because the amount of things people don't hear when they're 5 feet away.
When they're having private conversations in the middle of crowds.
Yes.
I think the sets of Degrassi react the way that like toys in Toy Story do. So if no one's directly in the vicinity, they
right.
just don't have any air in them. They're
that
a vacuum.
That makes sense.
They go lifeless.
And Spinner apparently knows the phone number by heart for a local pizza place that has decent wings because he orders, dials the phone, and we'll get to that. We actually cut to Emma and Sean at the mall.
Okay.
And they're in the food court. And Sean is describing how he likes meat, but and it was really unclear on whether he's a vegetarian or not, but
yeah.
he... this was interesting for me because mm-hmm. he mentioned that he spent a summer on his uncle's farm where they raise cattle for slaughter, he said.
Goes into and a lot of detail while Emma is eating.
Correct. I grew up on a beef cattle farm, guys. It's like,
oh, for real?
He's
they botched
like,
it?
The blood and guts. It's like, why would they take the cow apart like that? Yes, they do that, but that's when you butcher the cow. You don't kill the cow in a very gory manner. That would ruin all the meat.
As a normal person, you sound like a serial killer when you say, why would you take the cow apart like that?
Well, I was raised with animals being livestock. Like, I've named animals, raised them to the fair, then sold them for market value. That's just how it works on farms.
Yeah. So you think Sean maybe...
I think he's just a soft city boy that doesn't understand the agriculture industry and how it feeds everybody that's alive right now.
Emma would hate this right now.
This is wrong. But anyway, Emma gets turned off from her veggie burger because he's talking about meat, which was weird to me. She must have a pretty weak stomach.
Yeah. Maybe she was just turned off to his wishy-washy attitude.
But that was really the only notable thing about that scene.
I think he doesn't eat cow specifically because he says he's not a vegetarian.
Exactly,
but
right.
But he saw one animal being murdered and he's like, I can't eat this animal.
Yeah, he said he loves meat, and then he told a story about a cow farm. And my notes are terrible, but the only thing I have on that scene is Sean loves meat, but he hates the sound cows make. And that would make sense. Exactly. He's not going to deal with that, but give him all the chicken.
Is this the scene where Emma has a gross ketchup stain?
Yay!
It is.
Points out Emma's plop.
So, quick cut back to Miss Kwan and Jimmy and Spinner. So, the wings are delivered.
$50 worth of
$53.40.
Yes. And students of the class are pretty pleased, and they all help pay for the wings because they're hungry. So
yeah, they're very
down. It's not a big deal.
It's kind of a happy ending to the story, honestly.
They're very pleased to just be like, oh, I was hungry. Thanks.
You kept us here for, what, 5 hours taking... She doesn't say taking the test. She says, what's the Canadian phrase? Writing the test.
That's right, yeah.
Yes.
She says, write the test,
now
and then
remember,
you will have written
class,
the test.
Once, yes, write the test, and once you write the test, you will have written the test. Which is, she's teaching them normal English.
Yep.
What the fuck? They're going to go around talking like...
She sounds like an alien that saw like someone seeing over giving a test one time. And took the keywords. Anyway.
She's just an alien that saw Dead Poets Society.
So her students
Why
were super cool with
the
wings.
Why aren't they standing on the desk
yet? They must not believe I'm human. They're not on their desks.
And so we see that Emma and Sean are done with their meal. And they're throwing away their trash. And Emma thinks that she threw her trash in the wallet.
Strike that, reverse it, Willy Wonka.
Yep. She thinks he threw her wallet in the trash with the tray. So Sean digs in the trash a little bit, and then he throws something gross that he thought was her wallet, weirdly, because her wallet's not slimy, but okay.
Well, no.
And they get kicked out by a security guard. So remember that. They were digging through trash.
Well, to be fair, they got kicked out because a kid rolled his sleeve up, stuck his hand in a garbage can, and then threw a whole burger patty covered in ketchup onto the ground.
I would have kicked him out, too.
Of course.
Really?
Of course I would.
He's throwing garbage on the ground that was already in the trash.
Exactly.
He's the least sympathetic guy. He just walks up and mean mugs him, and they couldn't be like...
Oh,
he
no.
He said zero words. He's like stone-faced.
Yeah.
They're unattended children.
Of course. Leave pubescent things. Go. Go home to your parents that are legally responsible for you.
It's like, hey, this dumb, evil person thinks that she threw her wallet in the trash.
And true.
This dumb, true.
I'm person. Trying to dip into that for some reason.
Sean didn't have the forethought, man.
And
if
I'm
he
just
was a real security
through.
Guard, he would have been like, you don't need any part of that, man.
Okay, so I kind of missed some stuff because I zoned out for a second, but correct me if I'm wrong. They get kicked out, and then it cuts to them in the dumpsters outside?
Yeah, I'm going to power through the Emma and Sean storyline right now so we can get this boring shit out of
there. Okay.
The way I interpret it is the security guard kicked them out to the alley. They went through it in there.
Luke is going to actively stop me from powering through. That's our plan. So We see them outside digging through the garbage. Emma realizes her wallet was in her pocket the whole time, and she runs off because she's embarrassed and an asshole who's not going to apologize on the spot. And the next day at school, Emma is showing Toby, JT, and Manny the pre- and post-bird poop date pictures, because I guess Spike took another one after Emma had to change. And JT says, "I like the first outfit better," and walks away.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
JT, my hero.
Emma thinks Sean won't talk to her again. Toby is obviously Myron, and Sean walks in, and Emma's looking real sorry for herself. She's like, "I'm so sorry. The date was a disaster." Yada, yada, yada. And the Sean music plays as he asks if he can keep the post-bird poop outfit
Would like to shout out
the music cue. It goes bum, 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 bum. That's Sean's.
I would like to shout out Toby because he has kind of a big moment where rather than saying, you know, it's just a conversation, he doesn't want to ask you that, he does a 180 there. And he's like, he's not going to let some bird poop and digging through some trash get in the way because you're worth it, Emma.
So, oh, that is a good line.
Yeah.
That
biggest
is a good line.
Biggest simp at Degrassi, middle school.
Oh, okay. You're taking the other side.
And that wraps up that plot line for the whole episode.
This, the very last thing I remember from that entire plot line is as the Sean music is playing, Emma sighs louder than an 18-wheeler's air brakes releasing. Because we went back and listened to that a couple of times, and every single time it was just like...
Bum, 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 bum.
Yes!
Oh, gosh.
So Spinner and Jimmy are egging Miss Kwan's car
after
the wing prank.
Oh, my
and
God.
So I thought this was weird. Spinner was like, "Come on, Jimmy, join in." And then he's like, "Nah, man, I'm not going to do that." Then Spinner's like, "This is for the hairnet." And then Jimmy is like, "Okay, give me one. This is for making me and Ashley stop making out in the hall." Like, he was not hard to convince
at all. Yeah, it didn't
really
take a lot.
Well, in middle school, those are few and valuable. So I get it.
Those hallway makeout sessions?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never had
one in
middle school.
You gotta count your kisses when they happen.
Luke knows.
He's counted
few
everyone.
Few and far between.
So the next day...
Wait, there was one moment.
Oh, right.
Miss
she
Kwan
walks outside.
Walks out and starts crying.
She breaks down into tears. She doesn't look around in anger, say who did this.
No,
she just starts
so
weeping.
Sad.
And it
oh
cuts
God.
Back to Spinner, and he's just like, "Oh boy, that was a good one.
Yeah,
really
he loves
got
it.
Her ass, huh?"
Rebels
yeah.
in the devil. True Bart Simpson.
Yep.
And the next day, they're recounting it to their classmates as if it was a really
and
cool
the
thing they did.
Guy yeah. with dyed red hair ever.
Although Jimmy did look.
Character.
Yeah, who was that man? I want more of him.
Please?
So then Mr. Radich walks into Miss Kwan's homeroom and says, "Miss Kwan had a mental break. Her husband has been sick.
But, yeah.
She's working overtime. And she's taking a leave of absence because... Jimmy and Spinner broke her ass."
Yeah.
And and they look like they feel really bad and freeze frame on their faces. They look really, real sad.
That's how the closing music
okay.
goes, right?
Good episode.
Sometimes.
I would like to say Spinner is a golden god and has never done anything wrong.
Easy, killer. Easy.
I'm sticking by it.
I'll remember that come season 4.
He could have used less eggs.
Yeah, Ashley did have kind of a point when she said, "Sounds kind of cruel."
Right?
Yeah, Terry and Ashley looked horrified.
I mean, granted, they didn't know what was going on at the time, but to be honest, like, the lady's car looked like a bukkake scene. There were too many eggs. It was literally drenched top, both windshields, hood, and trunk.
He had a case of eggs. Not a carton, a case.
Yeah, it's like 120 eggs.
I want to think Spinner has, like, a Rocky move in the morning, and he's like, "Yeah, I can go without."
But so many eggs.
All in all, good up. What'd you think?
I might have to keep watching the show.
You will.
You will.
I will?
You will.
That seems forced. We're back to shoving
it down
my throat.
If we manifest it, it will occur.
this isn't Field of Dreams. You can't just be like, if we watch it, he will be there.
Well, you do. You live here, so.
Yeah,
you
that have is to. Yeah. That's a literal possibility based on the time frame.
So the 12th episode of Explosions.
Yep.
Happy America.
Independence Day.
12th episode of America.
The 12th episode of season one is called Wannabe. Shares its title with the song Wannabe by the Spice Girls, obviously.
Wannabe, parentheses, friends forever
well,
in some
it's
cases.
Yeah, it's listed on the YouTube channel as such, but not in the official listings on IMDb and the Degrassipedia. So the Canadian air date was February 3rd, 2002. The U.S. air date, June 10th, 2002, written by Linda Shuler and Kit Hood. Story by Aaron Martin, our boy Aaron Martin, and Jan Moore. Teleplay by our girl, Susan Nielsen, I put in my notes because she's been doing a lot of the teleplays this season. And some of the stories, she's working a lot.
Good for her.
We get a scene from Manny's season 6-7 opening reel when they really butcher the opening sequence. We get one clip from that in this episode.
The butchering of the opening sequence?
So do you remember the opening sequence where they start the theme song?
Of course he does.
And the camera zooms like into the school and we see the characters in different situations that tell you a little something about their character.
Yeah, a little peek.
And their name pops up.
Yeah.
So they change it to the character standing in front of a green screen smiling like and leaning on an imaginary wall kind of. Just like, you know, just chilling like, hey, I'm a character. Then like a clip reel kind of pops up behind them. So we get one of those. Also, this episode was directed by Lori Lind, and didn't do research on her, so we will get back to her next week because she directs our first episode.
She's probably a wonderful person.
I'm sure most people that have the name Lori or Laura or Lauren, I have found to be wonderful individuals.
And what's that last one?
So what? Who's doing the story?
Oh yeah. Oh, are we good to move into that?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, no, don't let me steer this ship. I shouldn't do that.
Just kick back. You're a guest.
Okay,
put your feet
I'll get comfy.
I'm excited about this because I usually have two columns labeled grade 7s and grade 8s, but we don't give a shoot about that anymore.
Our cast is melting together.
Grade 8s, we have a Pringles plot, we have a cheerleading plot, and just as a little C plot, Liberty got new boots, but we'll talk about that later.
That's the
those
most
boots.
Exciting.
Oh my word, I forgot about the boots.
Impressive boots.
Thank you.
That's my A plot in my heart. But we're going to start off with what I have affectionately referred to as JT&T.
JT&T.
We got JT and
interesting.
Toby in a stairwell just munching some Pringles.
Binge eating Pringles.
You can't make out what they're saying.
They're just shoveling Pringles so fast, and I think Toby's like, oh, it's too much, and JT's like, that's the sodium. Keep going. And they're just hiding in a stairwell, and Principal Radish is concerned. I mean, there's a lot for him to be concerned about. I don't know why this makes his list.
It is a concerning sight to come upon.
It's a manic episode.
Yeah, but he's like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, nothing. And so he just goes about his day as he usually does. So we move to the calf where Spinner is serving his food and serving his time.
Very good.
Thank you. And he is also concerned because JT&T have just lined an entire table full of these mini Pringles cans, product placement all over the place.
So many cans. The amount of cans and the amount of sodium that was represented in this episode
is unhealthy.
If
they run into any physical medical troubles, God forbid, blame this episode. Because I think they have about 24 cans lined up.
It's
There's
approximately,
no nutrients in those.
No, it's like
they're growing boys.
Pringles, fun fact, they're mostly cornflakes.
Should have had some of that lamb stroganoff.
They're potato dust. They need lamb stroganoff for a growing boy in Canada, in the Great White North.
Protein, not Pringles.
So they see Liberty, and she's just polishing off a can of the old Pringles like nothing's going on.
They act like it's the last one in the calf.
They assault her
for
her Pringles.
It might be.
That's true. That's true.
And they tell her what's going on. And what it is it's a contest. And I looked it up real quick. I didn't see anything about this contest being real. But
really?
Yeah. What it is at the bottom of the Pringles, most of them say, sorry, you lost or whatever. And what they're looking for, they want an ace of clubs and an ace of spades, because once they get those two cans, they get $1 million. Bucks,
so much money.
Which I don't know what that is in real country money. But in Canada dollars, it's probably pretty good.
Yeah. What is that in lira?
Oh, we're
0.85%. I don't know.
How many drachmas?
Drachma. Yeah. Did you not research the
what? Liberty. Liberty's response is just classic Liberty. She says, get a dictionary and look up pathetic.
Oh my God. That's right.
That was a big thing in the 2000s, insulting people via dictionary.
Right. Yeah. Go look up a word, you idiot.
Yeah.
Look up the dictionary for pathetic loser. Guess what? It's you.
Yeah, there's a picture of you next to the definition of stupid.
Well, in this dictionary that I scotch taped a picture of you in. Check this one, please.
I get pranked by you fairly often. That does sound like a classic Terry prank.
I need to order a dictionary for
the house needs
reason.
A dictionary for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So Liberty doesn't take long to join the fun, because it turns out the can that she has is the one they need, because they have the ace of spades. They said they need an ace of clubs, and that's what Liberty has.
They try and play it off. They like snatch the can and they're just like, oh, sorry. She's like, no, that's my can.
Yeah, and she's not stupid. She can see their thinly veiled attempts to keep it cool. Like, see right through them.
So, Liberty is not stupid.
No.
She's a lot of things.
She skipped a grade. We haven't talked about that, but we found out via the Degrassi DVDs. We looked at the character descriptions, and it makes so much sense why she's trying to prove herself so hard all
Absolutely.
The time. Because she skipped sixth grade, so now she's a grade 7 all of a sudden.
With a big old chip on her shoulder.
Yep. Is very that... intelligent, small fish in a seemingly, to her, large pond.
So socially unaware.
Yeah, so she's just walking up to every episode who she thinks the biggest guy in the yard is and taking him on.
Yeah, taking him down a peg.
Just slinging aluminum lunch trays, trying to be king boss.
And in this episode, that guy is Spinner, because they are like, they're off. JT and T are trying to get Liberty's can. And she's like, how about we go 50-50 on this? Yeah. And then Spinner walks out from behind a bookshelf, and he's like,
he was creeping.
He does a page entrance. Yeah. It's weird.
Well, he has an Emma creep in a page entrance.
Yeah.
That's right. Emma is super creepy.
I think that's double points. That's a combo.
Yeah.
That's
amazing. So he's like, how about 45-45, which is good maths for Spinner.
I was
he
impressed.
Nailed that.
I was impressed for Bug Boy to do math.
When he said that, I really expected it to be a Spinner's dumb at math joke. But
right?
Nope. He's skimming 10% off the top.
Bad at math, good at extortion.
Yep, because he's like, that only adds... I think Toby's like, that only adds up to 90. And Spinner's like,
bingo,
yeah,
buddy.
I'm taking 10% for protection. And Toby's like, protection from what? And he just sidles up to Toby like
from me, obviously.
You know.
I'm gonna literally end you if you don't give me 10%. It's called protection.
Yeah, protection like the mob, like in Chicago in the 20s. But yeah, this plot is very sparingly kind of sprinkled through the episode.
There's not
That's
a lot of girth. Yeah, not
because
a lot of girth.
We
to the
jump
Pringles
from
can.
That, and the next thing we get is JT desperately looking for the Pringles can in his very messy room and being like, "I'm so dead. I am so dead."
The only thing I have in my notes, it just says, is JT is toast.
He says he's toast. His room is very what you would think a preteen boy's room looks like. Having never been one, can't speak to that. But
having been one, JT might be a hoarder.
Okay. So it looked like my room. My room was a disaster.
Yeah, no, that
of
was on
time.
Point for me, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So Toby is already convinced he's got this in the bag. Mm. He's giving away electronics.
He's giving away a Sega Game Gear to a lady to earn
favor.
Oh,
you recognize that?
Of course I recognize the Sega Game Gear.
Amazing.
This is why I'm here.
This is why we had you on.
Didn't it just say, like, technical apparatus in, like, the script or whatever?
I think so. I took it at its word. I just have electronics.
I have that as well.
Yeah, yep. So thank you. And JT walks up concerned, and he's like, maybe don't give away everything. Because he tells Toby that he has, quote-unquote, misplaced the other can. It's not lost. He misplaced it.
The way he describes his mom, like, keeping their family home clean, he said, my mom went one of her cleaning binges again. It's like, you mean cleaning the house? Like,
yeah. Well, it's a Pringles can.
Are there any, like... How much of his mom have you seen in the show, and has she had any manic episodes?
No spoilers.
Because the show goes deep.
No spoilers, so I cannot comment. I will say, because we have already spoiled it accidentally, he does live with his grandma for the rest of the time we see him on the series post this season.
So maybe the cleaning binges aren't just like a boy's interpretation of mom.
Well, you know what?
Neat.
We don't analyze JT because we love him, and we don't question
we don't
him as much as Emma.
Love.
Yes. We
once,
take it as
again.
It is and love it.
Just once again, side note, happy 4th, everybody.
Yeah, dude, this is popping off, like, for real. I don't think, like, the earlier ones, I don't think they made it onto the audio, but those...
Definitely.
Don't think we have a hope.
And you might be asking yourself, why wouldn't they do this at a different time? You see, we release on Mondays, and today's a Monday.
Gotta get it in.
Well, anyway, Toby grabs JT and starts shaking him and says, think, man, think.
Yeah, he whips an idea right into that dome.
And Liberty just sidles on up, and she's like, oh, my two favorite people. She has slipped
timing.
Right into this mob boss role. She's got
timing.
Spinner dancing from... Did those fireworks honestly 100% set off a car alarm?
They sure did.
Yeah, of course that happened.
I
do
hope
we
it's
think
not
it's
one
any
of ours.
Of our, do we need to check?
Will
Hold
you
on.
Check, Lauren?
You
You're
keep going
to
through
the
timer.
Okay, so JT is panicking. He doesn't have a planikin. Okay, and Liberty gets Spinner to threaten JT.
Yeah, she does. She also threatens to sue them.
Yeah, I don't know how much legal ground she has there.
Oh, I also don't know if you noticed this, but I have a note in the middle of like all of this that Snake is teaching them Photoshop and media immersion.
Yeah, that will come back later.
Okay.
In the
cheerleading
episode.
Yes, it will. It will. You're right.
All right, and Liberty's playing mob boss. Spinner is too ready to play henchman.
And he does not speak dork.
Yes, that is, and JT has the sudden realization, his locker.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, which.
The locker.
Also, hashtag JT is a hoarder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said that his locker looks like a drunk drawer from a foster family.
Yup. So
well.
He's panic cleaning out his locker, and something, a flying detritus hits Toby in the face. And he finds this blue plastic bag, and
yeah.
He's like, this is it.
Victory!
And he realizes he has the Ace of Clubs.
JT got confused.
Yep, yeah. So they don't have the winning combination.
I thought it was very entertaining that Spinner was like, it's not even worth it to kick this kid's ass. I'm just going to walk away. I can't believe I teamed up with grade 7.
Yes. And the punchline is...
Commendable.
Toby and Liberty group bullying JT and pushing him into his locker. So
yes.
That was
yeah,
kind of, that
yeah.
was fun.
That's
I
how that,
that
ended.
Was
I did
that
like
good.
That. That was fun. He's not... He usually stuffs himself into lockers.
Yeah, when he's hiding from Liberty.
Yeah, this
so
time it was a real role reversal.
It
yeah.
was a big Liberty. Big Liberty moment. But
we're going to have another one here pretty soon. So cheerleading.
Much more
yes.
meat on the bone for this one.
Yeah,
holy
you heard
smokes.
How quick. Listen, I have columns and columns of cheerleading and very little
so
Pringles
much.
Content. But
so much.
Have we mentioned... It is the 4th of July.
Yeah, I think they're aware.
I don't
Why
know if they can forget.
Never forget 4th of July.
Okay.
That's not the sentiment, I'm almost certain.
Liberty is talking to Paige, Oscar, and Hazel about an
Oscar
article.
Oscar runs up, and we've encountered him before.
We have not talked about Oscar on the podcast. So Oscar is a little-known, one of the few male members of the Spirit Squad.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know his name any of the watch-throughs I did before we were actually doing research, and he's very non-present, like... So I guess they decided not to do a lot with him and then just dropped him.
Huh.
We kind of started the episode out with him because the camera zooms in on him running through the hallway to get to the other Paige and Hazel and what have you.
Yeah.
So Oscar's got some good screen time. Don't get used to it.
Liberty asks about sexism in cheerleading.
Yeah. Liberty's doing a Grapevine interview about the Spirit Squad. And she, you're just burying more time. What if they forgot? What would you say to people who think cheerleading is sexist?
Get over it.
Yup. That's our Hazel right there. I'd say
that sounds just like Hazel.
Get over it. Yeah, Hazel's a 14-year smoker in her 14 years of life. And then Paige elaborates like, cheerleading is such a positive thing. It's exercise, it's school spirit, and Oscar's addition to that is it's better than watching TV. So
wow. Oscar's not helping.
High praise.
Yep.
High
and
praise.
Paige is wearing her shirt that says the number 2 and the word spoiled again, which I really like.
Really?
Yeah.
The number 2. Oh, so, too spoiled. I'm
too spoiled.
Okay. Yup. Enter Manny, and she is excited. She's, and I want to say I am here for more Manny because she got little bit in the last episode, but she really comes into her own during this plot
line. Bucks up.
She bucks the fuck up. So she'd like to try out from the team, and Paige is skeptical. She's like, what can you do? And let me tell you, she shows her.
She does a cartwheel and a round off,
in the middle
off,
of the damn hallway.
In the middle of the cold open.
And
yeah.
The audio you hear is like someone in the hall going, oh, she good. And it wasn't. It was just someone in the hall.
That's right.
And Paige, like the devil about to have somebody sign their soul away in his book, is like, sign right here, honey. I could use you. She's
literally, I could use you.
It's very Al Pacino in Devil's Advocate. Just like, let me take you under my wing and teach you my ways.
Yeah, so before they start their big finale with the fireworks, Paige is on the announcement, and she says, I wrote this down, school spirit. Can you ever have enough? If you ask me, I say no. That's why I started the Degrassi Spirit Squad. Give me a D. And she picked the wrong word to spell out.
When they were going to cut that soon away from the announcements.
And then Emma says, give me a break.
Oh, oof.
Yeah. What interesting fact that Paige did start the Spirit Squad. So she's got some skin in the game.
Yeah, dude, she has interest. She has
this
interest
was planted
involved.
From episode 3.
Really? I didn't know.
Yeah,
what?
She says on the first day of school when she's trying to one-up Ashley, which, like I said, when Paige does evil things, I feel like they're always tinged in genuine self-interest at least. So she wanted to start the Spirit Squad, but Ms. Kwan was like, Ashley, kudos for hanging your posters on the first day of school. And Paige is like, I want to start a Spirit Squad, and she does.
Well, Paige accomplishes
Ashley, be damned. She does. She did it.
All right.
Well, Emma has issues with the Spirit Squad because she thinks it's sexist and wrong.
This is wrong.
This is wrong. And Manny's like, I don't know about that, because she's staring at the screen like she's in love with Paige.
Yeah, yeah.
If only that were our storyline.
Yep.
And Manny... Emma's like, so you want to be a pom-pom pumping robot? And Manny's like, calm down. Like, pretty much.
For real.
That is just their whole friendship, is Manny saying, calm down, and Emma just being the worst. So Emma and Manny are walking through the cafe, and Paige turns around. She's eating lunch, and she said, let's see that awesome cartwheel again. If you're in the Spirit Squad, you can't be embarrassed. And she does it again. She delivers.
She just stunts on him.
Yeah.
Okay, but did you hear the audio from the peanut gallery again when she does the cartwheel in the lunchroom?
No.
it goes, wow, so amazing.
Did they just have someone recording after the fact being impressed with Manny?
I think it was probably ADR. So yes.
So Paige is like, you're making Hazel jealous. And Hazel is getting a little jelly because Manny's doing it upright.
Why is Paige trying to make Hazel jealous? She's trying to the whole episode.
I think any like, infighting in her group is good for her. She wants to keep people turned against each other so true. She can be the queen.
That's a common fascist tactic, is to create infighting amongst your underlings. Yes. I don't know if Paige is a fascist, but I'm just saying.
I think we're getting a good idea.
She might use ideology to her favor.
I'm just saying, would say that. Like, power is power, regardless as to what model you're using. Like, she may not hate any one group. She just may want to be in charge and maybe using a good model.
Yes.
And she does break good sometimes. Like, in the last episode, she had some good advice for Emma.
She gave her a mini pad, not a maxi pad.
Yeah. Ha! And Emma is dressing Manny down in the bathroom. Are you going to do your colors, like, together? Like, it's wrong. And Manny's kind of just like, can we drop the cheerleading thing for
real? Right, just get off my ass.
Emma says, it's like I'm the only one in the school that can see how evil cheerleading is. And it's like, Emma, if everywhere you go smells like shit, have you thought about checking your own fucking shoe?
Boom!
Like, come on, Emma. If you're the only one that has a problem, maybe take a step back and analyze that. But she's 12, so I digress.
Yeah.
Did they bring up that Emma is thinking about writing something in the grapevine?
And Manny gives her the idea, basically, because she says, promise me you won't write a grapevine article about it because you seem pretty fired up right now.
And Emma's like, no, I'd never do that. I'm your best friend. Yeah. So Manny is walking out of school and she sees Paige and Hazel, and Paige is like, something wrong? And Manny is like, Emma is taking this whole cheerleading and sexist thing too far. She might write an article for the grapevine, which, I mean, she did kind of give her the idea.
Yeah,
she did.
And Paige is like, you could use some girl time. And Manny is like, I live 2 minutes away, which, Manny, sweetie.
Right?
Paige said, I'm going to manage this situation,
yes.
is what she said.
You don't want to give your residence away to Paige of all people.
Oh, man. Too much power and too many pockets.
Mm-hmm.
So at Manny's house, they're raiding boys who go to their school.
Yeah. Right? And then immediately tearing down Emma by saying, like, well, if she was here, she would say we're being sexist. Like,
yeah,
just the most twisty, like, manipulative behavior.
Once again, Paige the Spider Queen.
I love her.
The pop-out
all hail
Spider
Paige.
Queen.
Also, they're raiding some guy named Joseph, who Paige says doesn't use deodorant.
Right.
She gives
smelly.
Him a 4, Hazel gives him an 8, and Manny gives him a 9.
So, I don't think it's going to pop back up, but
Manny
for what it's worth.
Has no sense of smell.
Canon. She can't smell. And Paige manipulates Manny into calling Emma to make mm-hmm. sure that article is squashed. And again, manifesting the idea that Emma should write the article, basically.
Right, if they just dropped it and forgot about it.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Because it wasn't even Emma's idea in the first place. I'm not defending Emma. But
ever.
At the same time, like, she didn't even have that idea until you kept saying, hey, don't do this. Hey, you weren't saying it, but don't do it. Don't do this thing. Like,
well, they manipulate her into calling, and then the moment that she's on the phone and she gets confirmation, she's like, yeah, she's not going to write the article, which is something that she literally already clearly said before.
Yeah.
And then that is followed up by...
And then Paige talks.
And they let her talk! Like, Manny just doesn't try to cover up the audio at all. Like, what do you do? It's almost as if she held the phone out in, like, that scene in Back to the Future where he's like, check out this guitar player. Don't do that. Talk over the phone. Hide your friend. Sorry, plot armor. I realize it, but it triggered me.
They were silent for so long while Paige talked, and Emma was like, is that Paige? And it all goes to shit.
It felt like a platform.
Almost want to say Paige did it on purpose to permanently separate Emma and Manny.
She tried to because she saw how useful Manny could be, but they also have a pretty contentious, like, from now on, there's going to be a little Manny Page tension in every scene of them together.
So the general breakdown of the conversation is Manny was supposed to hang out with Emma.
That's right.
Manny said she was sick.
That's right.
And then she hears Paige in the background and says, oh, is that Paige? And Manny says she was just leaving.
Yep.
Don't worry about it. I'll come over soon. Immediately calling out her own lie. And then Emma says, don't bother. Guess I'm going to go write an article.
Yep.
Cracks her knuckles like it's article writing time. There's something is wrong.
This is wrong.
Yep. So next scene, they're cheerleading ?
Yeah. So Hazel is like, hey, here's a brand new move. It's called a toe touch. How about one of the classic cheerleading moves?
I did want you to take a little bit of this because you have cheerled before.
In fourth and fifth grade. So you could say I'm a professional.
Is this the right phrase? You have led cheer.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. It sounds correct.
That sounds oddly Susian. I like
okay,
it.
But the
how
thing
are
about,
you grading Hazel's toe touch?
The thing about cheerleading is that the goal is for your movements to be tight and to not look sloppy. Like, if you're doing a high V, you're not going to want to do that. You're going to want to snap to the position.
Right.
And Hazel does the worst toe touch I've ever seen in my life. Her knee was entirely bent. She needs to stretch if she's going to be like one of the co-captains of the cheer squad. And then Paige says, crazily, well, let's not get too crazy. Like with a toe touch?
Yeah.
And then she says, but I think Manny could do it better.
Right.
And
she contradicts herself.
Does a whole routine, not just a toe touch.
She does the hell out of that toe touch. And then she drops it down to the floor. She does full splits.
Meanwhile, Emma can be seen creeping from the window the whole time.
Oh my God. The creepiest entrance of any scene that I've seen in Degrassi. Mind you, my experience is limited. But when I saw her enter the frame, all I could think of is that, like, that one girl from Donnie Darko that everyone keeps making fun of that says, chut up. Every time she entered the fucking window scenes, because it happens more than once, I just kept hearing, chut up!
This is not the only episode that happens. She creeps a lot.
No shit?
We don't call it the Emma creep for no reason.
Oh my God.
Creep, creep.
The Paige pop-in and the Emma creep.
Also, fun fact, later in the episode, Paige says they have 8 people, they need 12. And I think there's 6 people in the cheerleading scene.
Yeah, right? Like, the numbers are off. Mm-hmm. It's bad math.
So, Emma be creeping. She's wearing her turtleneck. She took a page out of Sean's book.
Yeah, she did.
Copycatting. Yep.
So next scene, we zoom in on Liberty's red cowboy boots, the C-plot of the episode.
Right?
They
She's
are
looking
embroidered.
Fresh.
Love they them. Are fly as fuck. She's kinda got them kicked up on the desk. I wonder if she took out... Because the Van Zant name is no stranger to outlaw country culture.
So I just have to say, I love what this says about the character of Liberty. Mm-hmm. She, I guess 11-10 year old, because she skipped a grade.
Yeah.
She thinks she's going to come into some money, so she takes her savings and says, I'm going to spend it on what I've had my eye on this whole time. And I bet she's been eyeing those cowboy boots for
that's
a while.
What I'm saying. Yeah.
And I love that that's what Liberty decided to buy when she thought she was coming into money.
Toby was trying to give away a Sega Game Gear to try and get a lady he's had his eye on. She went out to boot country and was just like, I'm a size 7, hook me the fuck up.
That's
and
amazing.
They sure did.
They really did.
Because these boots are immaculate.
Liberty's like, isn't it weird that you're like attacking your own friend in this article?
Right? Calls it out.
She's trying to hand in the last minute article, and Liberty reads, how can we advance as women if some of us insist on wearing short skirts and acting like bimbos? Sounds like a well thought out article to me.
Not sure the word bimbo would be published in a middle school newspaper, but go off.
Yeah, and Emma's like, I could make it harsher. And Liberty goes, nah, it's good.
She says it's perfect.
And then Emma has to make a comment on our C-plot. She's like, what are those?
She says, what are those?
Emma's like, those boots, don't you like them? And Emma's like, there's something.
Paige, Hazel, and Manny pass Emma in the hall. Mm-hmm. And Emma says, it's more Paige and Emma. Because Emma says to Paige, hey, Miss Plastic, shouldn't you be testing your makeup on animals?
That's right.
And then Paige says, shouldn't you be out saving the trees?
Because at this point, Paige doesn't know that the article's been written and submitted, so she's being very cocky.
And yes. Then Emma calls Manny a bimbo to her face.
Yes, and Manny is not okay with being called a bimbo.
Emma tries to hand the article to Manny, but Paige snatches it.
That's right, steps in.
And reads, the Spirit Squad's only spirit is sexism.
So she can tell Manny how to feel about it and continue to manipulate her.
Yep, right, right. Nice, Emma. So I'm a bimbo too. And she crumbles up that article. So Manny asks Emma to drop the article. We've been friends for years.
How long have we been friends?
You can't just drop me like a hot potato, says Emma. And yeah. Then Manny comes with some real fire.
Real fire. Calls Emma the worst B word you can call a, what, 12-year-old?
Yep.
Boring.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, so harsh.
Difference between you and Paige. Paige is fun, and sometimes you're so boring, I want to scream. And Emma says, just don't come crawling back when Paige stabs you in the back. And Manny's like, I won't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Little foreshadowing.
Yep.
Should have stuck to that, Manny.
For real? Could you imagine Degrassi if Manny and
was an empowered person who didn't have a best friend that was constantly tearing her down from success?
A fucking
right?
Anchor.
Jesus. It's amazing what people can accomplish when they shed the people that are holding them back.
There are some shots of Manny being real sad around the school. She doesn't do much, but it just occasionally cuts to Manny just
shit.
Hanging out on the stairwell being sad.
That's right. Yep.
Yep.
And Paige and Hazel steal the new edition of The Grapevine as soon as it's put out.
That's right, because they want to rip that shit out.
They're ripping Emma's article out, and they not only that, but they peer pressure Manny into ripping a single page out of the article, and she does it reluctantly, and Paige was like, is that so hard? Next scene, Oscar, Hazel, Paige, and Manny are using next level tech to design cheerleading uniforms.
It's Microsoft Paint.
Yeah,
that's what I was gonna say. They're supposed to be learning Photoshop, but it looks like Microsoft Paint.
And they're just changing around the colors of the uniform.
It's not a uniform design, it's a drawing. Yep. That's not something someone would wear.
And our boy Snake, your dad, confronts God them about the
I'm
paper.
His clone. Yeah, he busts in real hot.
Yeah, he is real fired up. He's like, this doesn't happen at Degrassi. And Paige, Manny's about to confess. She's about to be a good person. And Paige immediately interrupts to throw Hazel under the bus.
She's like, I saw Hazel in the foyer looking sketchy, basically. And Manny is surprised by seeing Paige backstab Hazel somehow.
I don't know why, because Hazel has so many tire tracks on her fucking face from this episode.
Right? Honestly,
Paige is
yes.
constantly throwing her under a chassis.
And that's, Hazel is apparently here for it.
Yeah, and Manny asks why she did that. And Paige, like,
Paige is like, hey, Manny, two more people signed up for the Spirit Squad. That's so sick. And Manny's like, what the fuck was that back there? Isn't Hazel your best friend?
That's right. Stepped up.
Yeah. And Manny is not cool with Paige's response. She says, you know, it was either one of us that was going to get in trouble, so I saved you. And Manny says, that's not moral. And
Paige turns her wrath on Manny immediately.
Yes.
And it's just like, look, if you fuck with me, I will tear you under the bus as well.
Your attitude sucks. Good luck making the squad.
And they actually cut part of this scene in the United States.
Did they really?
Yeah, they cut it straight to good luck making the squad. They cut out the part where she says, FYI, your attitude sucks.
Yeah,
which
that's
is
crazy.
Really stupid.
I would see how they would include molestation and then drop the your attitude sucks.
Obviously. Yeah. And Emma, we see at the end of the scene,
yeah,
is watching
creeping.
On approvingly.
Another shut up entrance. I love it.
And we wrap up the episode with Manny sitting on her porch
real
and
sad.
Emma walks up.
Real sad because Emma is taking Manny back into her fold. There is
that's
a
right,
better life there. Mild backstabbing, but it's better than the shit Emma pulls.
Yep.
But for one of the first time, Emma admits she was wrong. now that her friend's dreams are dead.
That's right. Yep.
And Manny's like, I don't know. I'll give up the Spirit Squad. And Emma is actually like, no, you don't have to. Paige would be crazy to drop you. Go ahead, be on that Spirit Squad. And besides, what you did was really cool. And she reveals that she was creeping while Manny stuck up to Paige.
Yeah.
And freeze frame on their friendship.
So I realized something about Emma at the end of this episode. Because earlier I was like, Spinner is Bart Simpson. And you guys were like, yeah, fucking nailed it. Glad we had you as a guest. And then I said that Emma was like Lisa Simpson. And you guys were like, ah, there's something missing there. And I found the missing element. It's like Lisa Simpson's character was spliced with Rick Sanchez from Rick and Morty. That's how she keeps appearing in the window. Yeah. She has a portal gun. She's just literally zapping portals and appearing and being like, hi.
Doing petty teenage girl shit.
Exactly, because that's what you do when you're 12 and have a portal gun.
Yeah, Rick goes to exciting places. Emma goes to places that piss
her
off.
Have plot points?
Yeah.
So... overall, how do you feel? How do you feel about being on future episodes, taking more notes on Degrassi? Not all of them, obviously, because that's a lot to ask of anybody. But if we invite you.
I will be 100% honest.
Yeah.
This has been a interesting experience because the note-taking aspect.
The fireworks added to it, I feel.
Yeah.
Gave it some pizzazz.
Oomph.
Yeah. Little oomph. But like, yeah, you're literally asking a person to do homework on a show that is very vague and obscure.
That's why we don't really have guests or plan to have them.
And I have to admit that given the unique relationship that the three of us have, I will do this show as many times as I can physically do it because this has been an absolute blast. The note-taking aspect is fun.
Really?
The concept of the show is unique and interesting and entertaining, and I believe in this shit. Like, I'm here for it, y'all.
Well, let's not jerk each other off too hard.
No, I was jerking myself off. I was
on
this episode.
We're doing the Lord's work here, Luke.
We're jerking the Lord off!
Yeah, what do you think of Degrassi as a whole? With those two episodes, how do you feel?
I think a succinct way to ask this question is to ask Lauren... who do you think this week out of either episode did whatever it takes?
Okay. I genuinely believe that Spinner did whatever it takes.
Really? Okay. 100%.
Expand. He
wasn't a little bit.
Featured a lot.
No. Wait, am I flashbacking to the previous episode?
I mean, it's both.
You can do pick from either.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Either or both.
That's my reasoning because coming from the perspective of like knowing how important just like eggs and food is on a job, he wasted like a family of four's
generations of chickens,
generational wealth of eggs on a lady's car, and then it made her cry.
Yep.
And he owned it. He did whatever the fuck it took to not feel bad about his decisions. And honestly, like, I can't see any other level of tenacity in either episode.
Okay. That's strong. I've got one.
Luke?
I've got one.
What you got?
For me, and this, she's been a dark horse through several episodes. She's been overshadowed. But my person who did whatever it takes is Manny.
Okay.
She did some cartwheels. And not only that, she chased her dream to the end. She was in the Spirit Squad. She was a star player. She was one-upping someone a grade level above her. And then when she saw the utter nonsense that Paige was laying down, she's like, no more.
Yeah, she chased her dream to the true end where she faced the person that gave her the opportunity and was like, you're bad and I'm leaving.
And spit in their face. And she's probably still going to be on the Spirit Squad.
Right, exactly, because they need 12 people.
Yep, she did. She threw her dreams in the trash, albeit for a trash person.
Right,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But she did whatever it takes. I feel like in that episode, Manny's my star.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go with Sean.
Really?
I don't agree with his infatuation with Emma, but he was like, you know what? I'm going to ask this girl out. And in a deleted scene we didn't see, he was practicing asking Emma out in the school bathroom to the mirror, which I thought was really cute.
Oh, my God.
So he was nervous, and he still did it anyway because he wanted to go out with her. And that's really commendable for, like, a 13-year-old boy.
And he dug through the trash for a wallet.
He put up with so much.
She found it in her pocket. Like, I didn't bring this up, but in my notes, like, at that moment when she was just like, oh,
it was in my pocket.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
I wrote the words "can relate" bigger than I wrote anything else in my notes. Like, I was just like, oh, honey, I know. I've been there. I've asked so many friends to just be like, have you found my phone? And they're like, it's in your hand.
Yeah, I can relate to that a lot. But I don't like saying I relate to Emma, so I'm going to ignore that comment.
We can cut it out of the episode. Like, I don't even have to be here.
Great. So next week, we're covering episodes 13 and 14, Cabaret and times. Under Pressure, our last Double Degrassi podcast episode before the finale, where we will cover the single finale episode, Jagged Little Pill, and do season one wrap-up talk.
Excitement. Those were both good episodes. Loved them a lot. And also, shout out to our Australian listeners.
7%?
6% of you, I think.
6%.
Yes. Which was probably one person.
Thank you, sir or madam.
Thank
you, Sheila or bloke out there.
Thank you, person.
I apologize that the only Australian stuff I know is when I eat at Outback Steakhouse, that's the words on the door.
Thank you, Bloomin' Onion.
Yes.
Yes.
And please like and subscribe. We're on Instagram.
Okay, bye!